Please, to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. A few Sundays ago, we started a series of messages. Of course, this book of Hebrews, we count it the faith chapter. We call it, in my opinion, God's heroes, His hall of fame for those that He chose to name, who'd lived through the ages, that exhibited faith, and He had a reason for doing all that, of course. And my inquiry and what the Lord put on my heart is the arrangements that God made in the life of these people to get them in the position where they could be called heroes of faith. And we want to look at the opportunities you and I have, because God's still the same. He's on the throne, and the world's got more people today than probably it's ever had. And so God still is in the arranging business to get you and I and people that's usable into position. And look, when God starts arranging things, there's no limit to what He can do. Well, God that can create the world and everything by His word, He's not limited in resources. We have shortages down here. I remember when I was younger, we had a sugar shortage, coffee shortage, gas shortage. Back in World War II, they had all kinds of shortages. But God's not like that. God can give and never changes it. So we want to look at one verse here in chapter 11, and we've been naming these heroes. We'll mention the last two messages a little bit later on. Verse 32 of chapter 11. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets. We look first of all at a little lady called Hannah who prayed, and we looked at the... She was a mother, of course, and the title of that message, because it was her that gave birth to Samuel. And we looked on Mother's Day at the prayer of a mother. That's what it took to give us a Samuel. Remember, she was barren. She had no child. And Israel had no leader. And God must have looked around and didn't see anybody capable of doing what He wanted to do. So He started making some arrangements. Now, if He had just given Hannah a child without giving her the desire to have such a child, then she would have had a child and went back home and reared it as any other mother would, but not so. God wanted this child, Samuel, to stay at the temple, the house of God. And so He put it in Hannah's heart, if you will give me a child, a man child, God says, yeah, I will. Providing you will give him back to me. And that's the lesson of all of us. So the next day we looked at Jephthah, and we looked at a son's plight. This man had no opportunity, you would think. He was an outcast. His family didn't want him. His country didn't want him. And they excluded him. God had different plans. God had a plan for him to come back in and rid the nation of the enemy. And you would think his was a helpless case. So we have a mother's prayer produced to Samuel. Then we have a son's plight, and that was Jephthah. This morning I want to look at a nation's problem. Well, that could be us, couldn't it? Well, Israel had some problems, and we're going to find out about this in the book of Judges, chapter 13. Judges, chapter 13, we're introduced to Samson. Samson was a special child, and he came when there was a lot of problems going around. And I wonder today, since we are a nation in trouble, exactly what God's going to do. Well, we pretty well know, and we're going to cover that just in a few minutes. In Judges chapter 1, or chapter 13, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. This makes the third time in the book of Judges that God has said that same phrase. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. We'll look at those because they have major significance. In Judges chapter 3, verse 12, first time he used this in the book of Judges, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. This is what God did. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. This particular time, when they did evil, God says, well, I'll just teach them a lesson. Revenge is mine, saith the Lord. And God has all the resources at hand, so he said, I'll teach them a lesson. After all, they're my people, and I chastise and correct my children the way I want to. So he sent the king against them and taught them a lesson. Pretty soon, they were calling on the name of the Lord. That's the way God does. Second time in the book of Judges that he uses this phrase is Judges chapter 10, verse 6. Different situation. Several years have passed. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam and Ashtaroth and the gods of Syria and the gods of Zidon and the gods of Moab and the gods of the children of Ammon and the gods of the Philistines and forsook the Lord and served him not. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he sold them into the hand of Philistines and to the hand of the children of Ammon. Second time he uses this phrase, and God did pretty much the same thing. My children, I chastise my children. I will bring them under subjection. And God knows what to do, when to do it, how to do it. He's not changed. He still has a lot of children down here in the world. We're a nation, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That's in their creed. That's in their motto. But remember, we're not going on what we think. In the sight of the Lord, he's the one overseeing. And yet we have a nation in trouble. We thank God for our veterans. We thank God for everyone that's done anything to help America, the prayers. But yet we know that God is the one that's in charge of every situation. And then we come to the chapter 13 of Judges, the third time God uses the same phrase. Now, the last two times we know he sent more evil against them and taught them a lesson. They turned back to him. But you can't put God in the box and you can't figure out exactly what God's going to do in the future based upon the past. He keeps you kind of guessing. But to do know this, whatever he does will be right. Because he's God. And so this particular time, there's a something else I want to look at in this verse that we read, the word barren. Let's stay there that a little bit. First time God uses the word barren, it was Sarah. Remember, she was the one that married Abram. And God says, Abram, leave this country and go to the land I'll show you. But she was barren. She had no children. But God told Abraham, if you will leave this place, I'll give you a son. And later on he told him, this son will have fruit and he'll have children and they'll have children. And it'll be so many children by the time this is all over. It'll be like the stars in the sky and the sand in the sea for number. Abram, can you count them? He probably tried. Have you ever tried? A billion, sad to say, times a billion stars. In fact, some scientists say there is more stars in the heavens than there are grains of sand on the seashore. Oh, we serve a big God. Abram couldn't count them and he couldn't count the sand. But God says, you got a son coming. And we know that God, Sarah was 90 years old when she had Isaac. And Abraham was 100 years old when he was born. God's arranging some things because God says, through you, the seed of Israel, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Of course, that was in Christ Jesus. He was born of the seed of Abraham. Now, God has done what he needed to do. And in this day, even though America is in trouble, the answer still lies in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Because remember, the angel came down and told Mary, "Thou shalt have a son, and his son, his name shall be called Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us." And he was. But the second time the word barren is used was in Rebekah's situation. Isaac now was the son of Sarah's old age, and she had the same situation. She was barren. And Isaac, at this particular time, now the first time, God told Abram, "If you will, I will. If you'll leave, then I will give you a son." And he gave it to him at the right time. But now this son, Isaac, has married Rebekah. And the Bible says the second time he mentions this in the Word of God, she was barren. No children. And this time, God didn't do the same thing he did before. Isaac entreated and prayed to God, "Give us a son." And God heard and answered and gave them a son. And the third time it's mentioned barren was Rachel. Remember Rachel, she was the love of Jacob's life. But she had no children. A lot of reasons for that. She was mad as a hornet because she had been deceived and didn't get to be the first bride. And God had opened up the wound of her sister Leah, and she had multiple children, and her heart wasn't right with God. Rachel's wasn't. So God, the Bible says, made her barren. Who made her barren? God made her barren. You don't do right. You don't live right. You have bitterness in your heart. You want a son? Nope, not going to have one. And the next time happens, what happens when she was barren, God remembered and God hearkened to her. Remember the first time a woman was barren, God came down and said, "If you will, I will, I'll give you a son." And the next time, the son had to pray to God and say, "God, give my wife Rebekah a child." And this time it's the woman. She's the one the Bible says, ask God, "Lord, give me a son." And God hearkened to her prayers. I said all that to get into the message. You can't put God in a box. God does what he will. And we're confronted this morning with a situation where a nation's in trouble. The first verse we read, God expressed those desires and gave us all these background checks. Now let's proceed and see what God's going to do with this nation that is in trouble. Well, first of all, you've got to realize you're in trouble. This nation had been in trouble now for 40 straight years because they had forsaken God. If you read the account, there's a lot going on here. They had forsaken God completely again, as they had many times before. And you would think by the previous accounts, God's going to come down and give them the hand of the enemy even more. They're already the hand of the enemy. You would think that they won't turn to me, God said, in the past. You'd think he'd do it in the future. But by previous examples, we've seen God doesn't always do the same thing. But he will do right. So this particular time, the angel of the Lord comes down to Manoah's wife. Let's keep reading that. "And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and bare not." Fourth time that God had mentioned in the scriptures the word barren concerning women. And now she was barren, and God came the first time and told Abraham, "You want to have a son." Next time we see Isaac praying, and God says, "I'll answer your prayer." Next time we saw a woman, Rachel, praying, and God answered her prayer. But this time it's entirely different. Again, nobody seems to be praying for a child, but God sees a nation in trouble. So the angel of the Lord comes and chooses a woman that's going to have the right son. "You're going to have a child." It gets more interesting than that because she rushes home and tells her husband, a man, didn't recognize it as an angel at all, a man visited us and we're going to have a child. Manoah says, well, that's good, but I want to meet this man. And so he prayed to the Lord to send this man back again. And the Lord did, but not to him. Back to the woman again the second time and says, you're going to have a child. This time there's some guidelines for this child. You know, God all works. He's big on guidelines. We've got the whole Word of God that tells us how to live, how to be, how to worship, how to follow His leadership. And God gave guidelines. And we see, first of all, that it was a birth of a son to a woman that wasn't even expecting. And then after the woman came back and said, just stay here, I'm going to get my husband. He wanted you to come to him, but God's not interested in that. Now come and see. And finally they realize this is not just a man. This is the angel of the Lord. And so they wanted to do something. Men's always wanted to do something to repay. Just stay right here and we're going to go do a sacrifice and unto you. And angels don't get praise and honor. You may think so, but no. Angels are ministering spirits that minister to us for the Lord. And if there's any worship going on anywhere, it won't be the angels. It won't be to anybody, denominations or anyone else. It will be unto the Lord our God. Remember, the scripture says, Jesus told the Samaritan woman, you worship, you know not why. Well, that's what the world is doing today. The Bible says in the last days, men will call evil good and good evil. We're pretty much living in that day. This nation had been in trouble this time 40 years. And when I preach, I like to go back and relate it because God wants us to. Today, you and I live in. It's wonderful to read about what God has done, but I live in the now, and you do too, and I'm interested in what God's doing, what God wants to do, what God will do. And so I think back, and I read back in history, and I've been around a few years, say, when did our nation start getting in trouble? We see Israel's problems, a nation's problems. God's going to correct it, and He's going to fix it. Well, God sent His Son into the world one time for all times that He could fix any problem that ever existed. And a nation that prays to God and seeks Him, God will remember our prayers. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Hannah, all those people prayed to God. And Rachel prayed to God, and God heard all those prayers. Well, God still hears the prayers of His saints. But we must recognize evil. I remember in my lifetime, and some of you are old enough to remember, a place called Woodstock. Remember that? That seems to be the turning point in America. You know, we were out there after World War II, and we were somewhat following God. And you heard of great revivals in a lot of places. And there's generally a turning back to God in certain localities in America. But the devil didn't like that at all. So he stirred up a lot of people. And they started this movement, and they ended up at Woodstock. Where, and the country kind of leaned out to them, and it wasn't so bad, they felt, kind of compromise. And the drugs and alcohol and free sex and men with men and women with women and men and women shacking up that wasn't married. That's when it all started. And you know what? That's evil. But we had a senator from New York, I think her Hillary was her name, that wanted to and went to the Senate and said, let's give a bunch of money to make a memorial for Woodstock. Calling evil good and good evil. But God didn't go along with that. God says, in my sight, remember what He told Israel? And the nation Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. We're not going on what we think or what Congress thinks or what the president thinks. We're going on what God thinks. And God's got the problem all outlined. Now He says you're going to have a son. And this son's going to be a Nazarite. Got to live right and do right and be right. Did you realize God's still looking for people? that love Him, want to obey Him, want to follow Him, renounce sin, hate evil, hate what the devil loves, and love what the devil hates. And to do that, you're going to love what God loves and hate what God hates. And we hate sin. And you have to get a person or individual, any one of us, to hate sin. So the Nazarite had to hate every form of anything. It was all God. Just worship of the Lord God. So he came. And he didn't come into the world exactly like God had brought and sent Samuel into the world to be a judge. Not from a little boy. No, this man went out and he didn't do exactly like you and I would do. He went out and married a woman of another culture, a faith of a heathen god. That's who she was serving. But that was soon nullified and done away with by the people. And now he goes out there and God has given him strength. You know, God has strength to help every one of us endure this journey. He has a special call on his life. So are you. If you're saved by the grace of God, God has called you into his service. We appreciate our veterans and around the country and around our nation. Many, just like ours, are gathered hopefully today. And many aren't in church, but we still appreciate and thank them also. And so does God. But you realize today there are hundreds of thousands that were not able to come back to the soils of America. That died on foreign battlefields. They have cemeteries in France and Italy and Belgium and all over the world with American soldiers, fallen comrades. My heart goes out to those families. But God's a God of strength. He wanted to cause us to see that He enabled us to win that great war, World War I, World War II, and the Korean War. Many of you were in to participate in. Thank God for you. And then the latest conflicts in the Iraqi war and the present wars. God wants to strengthen His people. But we must realize right's right and wrong's wrong. Compromise leads us into trouble. Exactly as it did Samson. Samson went out, and as long as he obeyed God and did what God wanted him to do, he empowered him, and no enemy could stand against him. While one time he went out and got the jawbone of an ass and slew 1,000 men. Wasn't much for him because God was in him, his strength. And you don't look at Samson and say, boy, he was that fisher muscular guy that won Mr. Universe. No, no, no. When you get to heaven, you're going to find that he's just a little guy like you and I. His strength was not in himself. And yours is not in you and mine's not in me. Our strength is in the Lord. And God's teaching Israel again. They're looking at him as a hero. But no, God's a hero. Who made this arrangement, God? Who's going to deliver them from 40 years of bondage to Philistines? God. He's going to do it in a unique manner. And Samson doesn't seem to want to cooperate with God. Much like the church of the day. We know the word. Now, Samson got it straight. Mom and Dad heard the angel say what to do, what not to do. Now, Samson, I'm sure they instructed him as a little child as he was going to school or taking his classes. Now, this is what God expects. And that's why the Word of God is so important. This is what God expects. He won't change his mind for any generation or any person. And so Samson got out and started toiling and playing in sin, compromising. And he did it. Well, this is the right thing to do. So remember he told his girlfriend, Delilah, we're in Delilah's strength. He tried to lie her a couple of times, but this time he told her. And when the hair was cut, which is breaking the covenant that God said, he was like other ordinary men. The Bible says he wist not, he knew not that the Holy Spirit departed from him. Now remember, in that day, the Holy Spirit did not indwell people. that came after Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came upon people, and the Holy Spirit left him. So he gets up as other times when the soldiers would come in and try to take him when he was wrapped up in cords. He'd just break the cords and slay the soldiers. Wasn't a problem. But this time, God had left him. And God reminds you, you don't do anything without me. You don't get any glory for yourselves. There's no glory in anything except the cross. Jesus died on the Roman cross. He died for the sins of the world. The only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We have a record of his birth, his death, his resurrection, and his soon coming. Oh, we got problems in America. All through time there's been problems. Satan is a fighter. He's got a large army, probably a lot larger than us. But remember, the prophet didn't seem to bother him. When you get in God's will, you don't have to worry too much about it. Remember, the prophet, when his servant went out one morning and says, "We're in a heap of trouble." How so? Look up. Do you see the chariots of Syria? There's hundreds of them and hundreds of them. And here we are, non-equipped, and they're going to overtake us. I don't know if he was drinking this morning tea or coffee or whatever, but he said, and he didn't seem to be worried a bit. Why? Because he knew who God was. He knew who God called him on that mission. And so he said, "Lord, just open up his eyes that he can see what I see." And all around was angels. And just one of the angels could have smitten thousands of people. But what they did, they smote the enemy blind. And that's what God will do when you trust him. The enemy is out there in large number. But God's greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. And if we're willing to trust him, even though our nation's in trouble, God has trusted you and he's trusted me. He's trusted others to read the covenant. And trust me, Abraham trusted him. He left the country. Isaac trusted him for a son. Rachel trusted God for a son. And now Mary wasn't even looking, but God, again, changed your arrangement. That's what he wants to, when he wants to, as he wants to. And he always does right. And God sent his son into the world in the fullest of time, in the darkest of time. And now we live in a troubled world, a troubled nation, a nation with problems. But God's looking down on the scene. He's looking at the heart. He's not only looking at America's problems, he's looking at the problems in your heart, in my heart. Samson now disobeyed God. He's going to pay the penalty. The enemy comes and smites him blind. I wonder how many people today are living in darkness that once knew the light. Once had the power of God on their lives because they were trusting him and God empowered them and used them mightily. Now they're on the back seat somewhere. Why? Because they quit trusting God. A lot of other reasons. Maybe they conform to other things. And this day and time, one of the words I hate in the English language, tolerance. We're taught by the schools. We're taught, trying to be taught by the government, be tolerant. What it is, be tolerant of sin. No, no, no. You can't be tolerant of sin. Remember, we're going on God's side. God's doing the judging. He never changes his motives. He changes sometimes the way he does things, but the rules are still there. Now Samson is blind. He's been made fun of. Did you know the world's trying to make fun of Christians today? Oh, yeah. And what are we doing for the most part? We're backing up. No. We're going to look lastly at what Samson done. Samson now is blind. He's working out in the mill. And I remember as a kid, we used to get these little Sunday school cards on Sunday morning. And I remember vividly. that showed in one of the Sunday school cards, which was not a good picture at all to teach your kid because it's wrong. And it showed this mighty man out grinding in the mill, and he was pulling one of those big old things horses normally pull grinding. Well, that's wrong. Remember, he had lost his strength. He couldn't do what the horse had done. He couldn't do nothing. You know how they ground meal back in those days? They had a rock with a crevice in it, and they would take a large wooden object, and they would grind the wheat and grind the corn and that. That's what he's doing. He's doing a woman's job. Now, I'm not belittling women, but normally the women did the grinding. And that's what Samson was doing. And I'm sure all the Philistines and all the world came by and, looky there. That's God's man. Hey, God, is that your man? He's blind, and he's doing the work that normally our women do. He's not pulling big machines like horses do. He's just a laughing stock. That's what God wants to keep you and I out of. The devil wants to put every one of us in a position, and he will if you're not careful. If you start compromising and you start looking at things differently than what God does, you're headed for trouble. Samson now thought he could play with sin. But God is going to bring him down. Blind. Halt. Can't do anything. But lastly, Samuel's renewed strength. Oh, I'm sure his heart was broke. I'm sure he repented. And I'm sure he said, God, I'm so sorry. You gave me everything. You gave me a special birth. You gave me special parents. And you gave me of your power to defeat the enemy. And I used it, and you used me. But then in a weak moment, I betrayed you. I let you down. And I'm suffering the consequences. That's what happens to a nation that forgets God. God says, you blessed my nation Israel, and I'll bless you. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. And without that, we're not blessed, can't be blessed, won't be blessed. So it's up to you. It's up to me. It's up to other individuals. Stand in the gap and make up the hedge. That's a charge God gave me from Preacher Hinkle Little when God called me to preach. I was visiting this church. I wasn't even a member here, but Brother Hank was holding revival in the old sanctuary. And I was seated on the second or third pew. And Brother Hank will preach that message. And God's, and he walked all around the church. And God's looking for a man. And God's looking for a man to stand in the hedge and make up, stand in the gap and make up the hedge. And God says, that's you. Oh, I don't make up much of a hedge. I'm not doing anything close to what God expects me to do or wants me to do, but by God's grace, I'm going to try. And then, yes, Lord, I'll preach. And then some 10 years later, he sent me to be pastor here. That was 20 years ago. God's been good to us. And God has supplied our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now that final thing, Samson's out there and they're having one of those big parties to all their gods, false gods. And Samuel's there. He can't see. He hears her devil music and he hears her chanting and he hears her still sporting, making fun of him. Well, that's bad enough, but they're making fun of his God. And that bothered him. Should bother you. Because he's Christ. He died for my sins. He's my hero. He's my everything. And so Samson, this whole little lad, just kind of leaned me up against one of the pillars of this great temple. And he said one final prayer, Lord, just renew my strength one more time. And God renewed his strength. What he pulled down the columns of the building, it was God through him. And the great work was accomplished, and God defeated the enemy that day through a man that had so much potential. And God's looking at you, and he's looking at me. He's arranged things in your life and mine to bring us to this very minute. and it'll be Him. If anything's accomplished through you or by anybody, it'll be because of Him. Samson had forgotten that. And the nation was in need again. You see, God's got people He wants to use. In America, a lot of people have let Him down. But He still said His word, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their nation. That's what God said. He won't change it. He's still looking for a people to call on Him. With no self glory in mind, nothing in mind except exaltation of Jesus Christ in this world, the one that died freely for our sins. Oh, look back at the history of America, how we are a nation that's been blessed of all nations. And I hope God's not looking this morning. It'll be up to Him. He'll do right. And happen to say, America has done evil again in the sight of the Lord. Would you stand this morning? Your heads are bowed. Brother Gray, will you come and sing a song of invitation, whatever God puts on your heart? Your heads were bound. Lord Jesus, thank You for this portion of the Scripture. It helps us understand more clearly how You arrange some events and situations so You would get the glory. And You're still in the arranging business in hearts and lives. You arranged this morning for each one of us to be here. Some come from far, some are close by. And the situations vary. We may be here for different reasons. Nonetheless, You're the arranger. And Lord, some events that happened last week to us and the week before and all our life, You arranged it to get us in the position to say, Lord, we need You. We are a nation in trouble. It's not like it used to be where men, women, boys, and girls are so willing to go fight for freedom. Many are, but only You know how many aren't and even hate America and what it stands for. Not just the enemy overseas, but they live in America. Born here, many of them. Father, You know we're in trouble. And we're just offering ourselves. If You could use us, I sure would be gracious. And I'd be willing. And I'll be ready for anything You want me to do. And I pray every one of us be able to say that this morning. Lord, here I am. Can You use me? Help me to be usable. Truth is, You can't use a lot of us because we're not usable. Not willing to meet the standards that You set forth. Exalt Christ. Exemplify Christ. And be about Your business in this world. Father, if we could just die to self and submit our lives to You once again, and trust You to do what's needful in this hour. We love You, Jesus. We thank You for all You've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Whatever your needs are this morning, as we sing this song, what number is it?
Page 574 in the hymnal. 574.